Bhaktisangha Jabba conference call. Please accept my humble obeisances. So today we will be having a very nectarian class from Her Grace Preeti Vilasini Mataji on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 22, and text 9 to 17. So before handing over the call to you, Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your time and association this morning and to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. So before giving the call to you, I will hand over the call to Shureshwar Shyam Prabhuji to give a brief introduction about you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Over to you, Shureshwar Shyam Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. And we all know Preeti Vilasini Mataji. So here is a brief introduction about Mataji. Mataji did her chemical engineering from Ramaya Institute of Technology and Masters in Anna University. And Mataji later studied environmental engineering at University of Houston. Mataji got married to a wonderful Vaishnava, His Grace Srinivas Jagannath Prabhuji. After getting introduced to Krishna consciousness around 2009, Mataji took initiation from His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj in 2015. Mataji is an excellent devotee, a great scholar, and has in-depth knowledge of shastras, especially Srimad Bhagavatam. She's an excellent speaker, and the way she narrates various stories from scriptures feels like a grandma narrating the pastimes. The way she narrates pastimes in her sweet voice with so much expression and enthusiasm makes the listener envision them in front of their eyes. She is one of the main administrator of the Bhakti Sangha conference group, which is a virtual temple for many devotees. Her dedication, sincerity, management skills, along with humble attitude, is an inspiration for many devotees and took to this Java, Bhakti Sangha Japa group to great heights. She served, Mataji has served in Houston, Atlanta, Bay Area, and Chicago temples in various capacity. She conducts various classes and inspires many devotees in their path of Krishna consciousness. And Mataji is also a very good cook. Hare Krishna, Dhanavad Pranam, welcome Mataji. And back to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a brief introduction about Mataji. Yes, her glories are no words to her glory. So she is really a very much good pillar of Bhakti Sangha. Thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your valuable time and association. And please come again and again and in front before itself. Thank you, Mataji. Please accept my obeisances. Take the call, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Sureshwar Shyam Prabhu, Anita Mataji. Thank you so much. And for the introduction, for the welcoming. And thank you so much, Vinita Gandharvika Mataji, for the opportunity, and also our Shyama Gauri Mataji for the continuous opportunities for everyone on Bhakti Sangha. So thank you all so much. We'll start with the prayers. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam mudirayet Shrinvata Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridayantasto Hiya Bhadrani Vidunoti Suhritsatam Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Hare Krishna, I'll share screen. Just a second. Okay, so today we are reading from the fifth canto is loved by many people because it deals with cosmology. At the same time, it is a slightly drier subject matter in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the chapter here is about the orbit of planets, and currently I've been given verses 9 to the end of chapter because we don't have many purports. We just have a tiny little purport with two lines. So we'll be covering this section in entirety. And you've all already heard from Pavaneshwar Prabhu the entire synopsis of the fifth canto. So you have an idea already, so this is just going to be a little addition to whatever has been spoken. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam 5:22:9. Atha chapur nayamana bhischa kalabhir amaranam kshiyamana bhischa kalabhipitrinam ahoratrani purva pakshapara pakshabhyam vitanvanah sarva jivanivah prano jivaschaikam ekam nakshatram trimshata muhurthair bhunte. Atha, thus, cha, also, apuryamana bihi, gradually increasing, cha, and kala bihi, by the parts of the moon, amaranam, of the demigods, kshiyamana bihi, the gradually decreasing, cha, and kala bihi, by parts of the moon, pitrinam, of those on the planet known as pitraloka, atah ratrani, the days and nights, purva paksha apara pakshabhyam, by the period of waxing and waning, vitanavanaha, distributing, sarva jivanivaha, of the total entities, pranaha, the life, jivaha, the living and the chief living being, cha, also, ekam ekam, one after another, nakshatram, a constellation of stars, trimshata, by 30, muhurtaihi, muhurtas, bhunte, passes through. Translation. When the moon is waxing, the illuminating portions of it increase daily, thus creating day for demigods and night for the pitas. The moon is waning, however, it causes night for the demigods and a day for the pitas. In this way, the moon passes through each constellation of stars in 30 muhurtas, which is an entire day. The moon is the source of nectarian coolness that influences the growth of food grains, and therefore the moon god is considered the life of all living entities. He is consequently called Jiva, the chief living being within the universe. Ya esha shodashakala purusho bhagavan manomayo annamayo amritamayo deva pitrar manushya bhuta pashu pakshi sarisrapa virudham pranapi ayana silavat sarvamaya iti varnayati. Because the moon is full of potentialities, it represents the influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The moon is the predominating deity of everyone's mind, and therefore the moon god is called as Manomaya. He's also called as Annamaya because he gives potency to all herbs and plants. And he's called Amrutamaya because he's the source of life of all living entities. The moon pleases the demigods, pitas, human beings, animals, birds, reptiles, trees, plants, and all other living entities. Everyone is satisfied by the presence of the moon. Therefore, the moon is also called as Sarvamaya, all-pervading. Tata uparishtha dvilaksha yojanato nakshatrani merum dakshinenaiva kalaya ishvara yojitani sahabid abhijatasya vimshatihi. There are many stars located 200,000 yojanas, which is 1,600,000 miles above the moon. By the supreme will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are fixed to the wheel of time, and thus they rotate with Mount Sumeru on their right, their motion being different from that of the sun. There are 28 important stars headed by Abhijit Nakshatra. The stars referred to herein are 1,600,000 miles above the sun, and thus they are 4 million miles above the earth. Tata uparishthad ushana dvilakshayojanata upalabhyate putraha paschat sahaiva varkasya saigriya mandya samyabhir gatibhir arkavacharati lokana mitya dhanukula eva prayena varshayams चारे चारे नानुमीयते स वृष्टिविष्ठम्ब ग्रहो ग्रह ग्रहपश्मनः. Translation: Some 1,600,000 miles above this group of stars is the planet of Venus, which moves at almost exactly the same pace as the sun according to the swift, slow, and moderate movements. Sometimes Venus moves behind the sun, sometimes in front of the sun, and sometimes along with it. Venus nullifies the influence of planets that are obstacles to rainfall. Consequently, its presence causes rainfall, and it is therefore considered very favorable for all living beings within this universe. This has been accepted by the learned scholars. Ushanasya budo vakyathastata uparishtha dvilakshayo janato budaha somasuta upalabhyamanaha prayena shubhakrit यदार्कात् व्यतिरिचेत तदातिवाताभ्र प्रायणावृष्टि आदिभयम् अशमसते. Mercury is described to be similar to Venus in that it moves sometimes behind the sun, sometimes in front of the sun, and sometimes along with it. It is 1,600,000 miles above Venus, or 7,200,000 miles above Earth. Mercury, which is the sun of the moon, I repeat, Mercury, which is the sun of the moon, is almost always very auspicious for the inhabitants of the universe. But when it does not move along with the sun, it forbids cyclones, dust, irregular rainfall, and waterless clouds. In this way, it creates fearful conditions due to inadequate or excessive rainfall. अत ऊर्ध्वम् अंगारकोपि योजन लक्षद्वितीय उपलम्भ्यमानस्त्रिभिः पक्षैरेकैकाशो राशीन् द्वादशानु भुङ्क्ते यदि न वक्रेणाभिवर्तते प्रायेणाशुभग्रहो अगः संशः. Situated 1,600,000 miles above Mercury, or 8,800,000 miles above Earth, is the planet Mars. If this planet does not travel in a crooked way, it crosses through each sign of the zodiac in 3 fortnights, and in this way travels through 12 one after another. It almost always creates unfavorable conditions in respect to rainfall and other influences. Tata uparishtha dvilakshayojanatara gata bhagavan rihaspati rekaismin rashau parivatsaram charati yadi Navakrahasyat prayenanukulo brahmana kushalaya. Situated 1,600,000 miles above Mars, or 10,400,000 miles above Earth, is the planet Jupiter, which travels through one sign of the zodiac within the period of Parivatsara. If its movement is not curved, the planet Jupiter is very favorable to the Brahmanas of the universe. So whenever we see the words curved, then we saw another word crooked, all of this mean the same. They mean the planet is retrograde. So we'll also see what retrograde motion is as we discuss this class. Tata uparishtad yojana laksha dvayat pratiyamanah shanaischara ekaismin rashau त्रिंशन् मासान् विलम्बमानः सर्वान् एवान् एवानुपर्येति तावभिर् अनुवस्तिरः प्रायेण हि सर्वेषाम् अशान्तिकरः. सिचुएटेड् 1,600,000 माइल्स् अबव् जुपिटर् और् 12,000,000 माइल्स् अबव् अर्थ् इस् द प्लानेट् सैटर्न् विच् पासस् थ्रू द जोडियाक् of the 30 months and covers the entire zodiac cycle in 30 anuvatsaras. This planet is very inauspicious for universal situation, which is the planet Saturn. Tata uttarasmat ऋषयः एकादश लक्ष योजनान्तर उपलभ्यन्ते य एव लोकानां शम् अनुभावयन्तो भगवतो विष्णोर् यत् परमं पदं प्रदक्षिणं प्रक्रमन्ति. सिचुएटेड् 8,800,000 मैल्स् अबव् सेटर्न् और् 20,800,000 मैल्स् अबव् अर्थ् आर् द सेवन् सेण्ट्लि सेजस् हु आर् आल्वेस् थिङ्किङ्ग् अबौट् द वेल् बीङ्ग् आफ् द इन्हाबिटन्स् आफ् द यूनिवर्स् दे सर्कमाम्बुलेट् द सुप्रीम् अबोड् आफ़् लार्ड् विष्णु नोन् एस् ध्रुवलोका द पोल् स्टार् also referred to here as Paramapadam, the supreme abode. Purport. Srila Madhvacharya quotes the following verse from the Brahmanda Purana.
Jnananandatmano Vishnur Sishumara Vapushyata Urvalokeshu Savyapta Adityadhyas Tadashrata.
Lord Vishnu, who is the source of knowledge and transcendental bliss, has assumed the form of Sishumara, in the seventh heaven, which is situated on the topmost of the universe. All other planets beginning from the sun exist under the shelter of the Sishumara planetary system. The pole, the topmost point, is the Dhruvaloka, which is also called as Paramapadam, which is also Vishnupadam, which is the topmost. And under that is situated all the planets. That's what the verse is telling. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fifth canto, 22nd chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Orbits of the Planets. So 22 chapters are done. Okay. So now what we'll do is we'll see a presentation on these verses. Okay. Om Ajnanati Nirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Meenitam Yenata Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayati Girim Yat Kripata Maham Vande Shri Gurum Deenatarinam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschayate Deshatarini Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. वाञ्छाकल्पतरूभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. मै हम्बल् ओबीसेन्सेस् टु आल् द वैष्णवास् आन् द काल्. प्लीस् ब्लेस् मी सो दट् ऐ केन् स्पीक् अ फ्यू रेलेवेण्ट् वर्ड्स्. थेङ्क् यू आल् सो मच् फर् दिस् आपर्चुनिटी अगेन्. इट्स् आल्वेस् अ प्लेजर् टु डिस्कस् दामलपुराण, श्रीमद् भागवतम्, एस्पेशलि द फिफ्त् केण्टो, विच् इस् सो रिच् इन् कास्मोलजि. So for this class, we'll be using the commentaries of the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam. It's a compilation published by His Holiness Dhanveer Goswami Maharaj. And it has all the commentaries of all the Vaishnava Acharyas, of all the Sampradayas. And it has great details about all the verses of the cosmology. And we'll also refer to Pavaneshwar Prabhu's compilation, the book that is called as the Bhagavata Cosmology. We will also refer that parallelly. So this presentation is a mix of both. And it has all that Srila Prabhupada has written as well. Okay. So verse number 9. So verse number 9 was speaking about the moon, because the previous verse was also about the situation or the location of the moon. Verse number 8, which you have already discussed. So this is going to be verse number 9 that specifically talks about the waxing and the waning of the moon. So you all know that the moon, it waxes and then it wanes, right? So these are the different phases of the moons. So what happens when the moon waxes or wanes? The waxing period is actually, according to this verse, called as the day of the Devas. And the waning period is called as the night of the Pitras. So if you see this, again, this is a picture from cosmology. You can see the Pitraloka situated somewhere here. And you have Chandraloka, our subject matter, which is the moon, which is situated here. Okay, so what are they telling here in this verse? When the moon waxes, it is the day period for the Devas, and when the moon wanes, it is the night period for the Pitras. Now, we should remember that this entire Bhagavata cosmology is earth-centric. Okay, so our point of vision is from the earth. We are seeing from the earth, we are not seeing from the sun. So this is geocentric idea. Okay. So nothing is wrong. Everything is in relative motion and only the pole star is fixed. Okay. So there's no concept of this is right, that is wrong. Everything is right. It's only about point of vision. So what are we doing? We are seeing from Earth's point of view. How are we seeing? We are seeing the moon, the sun, and the different planets like Venus, Mercury, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, how they are located. This is a sort of a vertical dimension as well, from Earth point of view. Okay. So from Earth point of view, obviously the sun or the moon appears to be waxing and waning, right? Why is it like that? It could be because of rotation, revolution, whatever. But from our point of view, it appears that the moon increases and the moon decreases. So when the moon is waxing, wax means to increase. Okay. So when it is increasing, then what happens? It is called as the day for the devas. And when it is waning or the moon is reducing, you know, like you see slowly from Purnima, it becomes Ekadashi, and then finally there is a new moon. Again, it becomes big, so like that. So the waning period is the day or it's the night, and it's called as the night, and it is the time of the Pitris. So another point that is mentioned is that the moon passes through one constellation of stars in one day. So this is something you might all be somewhat aware of, but you might have not realized. Every day we have a new nakshatra, right? So for example, if today is Bharani, tomorrow is Kritika. You must have heard of this, like even from your grandparents, or even if you look up the Vaishnava calendar, you should be able to see every day there's a new nakshatra, right? So these calendars are moon-centric. Okay, so the moon stays with one nakshatra on one day. And each of these nakshatras are considered as the wives of the moon. So the moon technically has 27 wives plus one nakshatra, which we are going to discuss, which is called as Abhijit. So even in the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the moon is known to have 27 nakshatras as his wife, which means he stays in the house of each of these wives on one day. So this moon, it's passing through the constellation of stars in 30 muhurtas or one day. Each star, one day. Now, what is a muhurta? A muhurta is 1 by 30 of a day, right? 48 minutes is one muhurta. You've heard of all this, right? So 48 muhurta, how did you get the 48 minute? Because it is 1 by 30th of a day. This is how a muhurta is. So total 30 muhurtas is equal to one day. 1 by 30, if you do total, obviously it is 30 muhurtas, which is one day. This moon is also described as prana, because he is the life giver, and jiva, the chief living being, because he is the source and sustenance of the life that is existing in all the planetary systems. Now, Uttarayana, actually speaking, if you analyze this verse, though the verse itself says that the day of the waxing, the waxing period is the day of the devas and the waning period is the night for the pitris. Though it talks of day and night for the devas, saying that the waxing and the waning directly indicates day and night of the devas, does it indicate that? Answer is no, because you all must be aware that the Uttarayana and Dakshinayana indicates day and night for the demigods. Actually, what is Uttarayana? Uttarayana is the 6 months, right? Starting from January till December. That is going to be your Uttarayana. Then you have the, from January to July, and then July to December, right? That's how the Uttarayana and the Dakshinayana are classified. So if you try to remember some of your previous instances of understanding calendars, you should be able to remember that actually Uttarayana is the daytime for the devas and Dakshinayana is the nighttime for the devas. But why is this verse telling that the waxing and the waning of the moon indicates the day and night? So now there is a conflict, right? So what we should understand is that in this specific verse, according to the Acharya commentaries, they are telling us it is a proper time for worship. The waxing period is a proper time for worship of the demigods, and the waning period is a proper time of worship for the Pitris. So that's why they say when it is Shukla Paksha means to wax. So when it is Shukla Paksha, we do Deva Puja. When it is Krishna Paksha, meaning the darker phase of the moon, we do Pitra Puja. Okay, waxing and waning is mainly for observance and puja. But day and night, if you ask, okay, Uttarayana, Dakshinayana indicates day and night. 6 months of the year is equal to one day of the devas, and the 6 months of the night, 6 months of, sorry, the remaining 6 months of earthly people equates to the night of the devas. Okay, that's why Bhishma Dev, what did he do? He waited for Uttarayana, because he wanted to leave the body at the day of the devas. Of course, Bhagavatam clarifies, it is just not that. It is also, you know, because he was in front of Krishna and he wanted to leave his body in the right consciousness and then all that. You know, of course, he finally goes to the spiritual world. All that we understand. But also specifically, he chooses Uttarayana, because Uttarayana is the time of the daytime of the devas. So that's when it is Dhyar Brahma Muhurta. They are waking up, they are doing japa and puja. So that is the time we actually call as the day of the devas. But every 15 days, waxing period, you worship the demigods. Waning period is suitable for worship of the pitris. Okay. Now, this is what I have written here. According to the demigods, our 1 year is their 1 day. And this day starts with Makara Sankrantri, April. Sorry, I said January. You know, January. January 14th, 15th, Makara Sankrantri, right? So that is the day when their daytime begins. Whose daytime? Deva's daytime. The Uttarayan period is 6 months in a day, and the Dakshinayan period is 6 months in the night for the gods. Okay? So that is the first verse that we saw about the moon. Now, what is the glories of the moon? This is verse number 10. So Bhagavatam is telling the moon is full of potentialities. It is giving us so much, right? It is full of potentialities. And the moon, there is a verse in the Shrutis, Chandramsa Manaso Jataha. Prabhupada quotes this many times to tell how the moon is actually the predominating deity of everyone's mind. The demigods, even Dhruva Maharaj, he tells that the demigods cheated me. So he talks about how you are influenced and controlled by demigods, because every anga, every part of your body is actually controlled. Like the mind is controlled by the moon. But depending on the waxing and the waning of the moon, people have different moods. So, but this moon is also ultimately controlled by Narayana. And the moon itself represents Narayana's mind, actually, according to the Viratrupa. If you see in the second canto, the Viratrupa is described in great detail. And there it says that the mind of the Viratrupa is actually the moon. So moon has a direct relationship or a direct influence on all people's minds. Okay. So therefore, moon is called as Manomaya, the predominating deity of everyone's mind. That is one quality of the moon. Second, the moon is Annamaya, because it gives the potency to all the plants and herbs. Just like the plants and herbs, they require sunshine to grow, and they need good soil and watering and all that. And in sunshine, they grow. The juice of the plants and vegetables is supplied during the nighttime when there is moonshine. So if there is no moonshine, then there is no life. There is no juice. There is no life in all these plants and fruits. Or herbs. Thirdly, moon is also called as Annamaya. It gives potency. So it is not enough if the plants and herbs are just juicy. They should have some potency. They should have some Ayurvedic value, right? It should have some healing power. So that is also given by the moonshine. So it's called as Annamaya. Anna means to eat, right? So the potency, what do we get from food? We get nourishment. How are we getting that nourishment? That nourishment provider is actually the moon. Of course, the moon is finally controlled by the Supreme Lord. From the Supreme Lord, it is the moon. From the moon, it is in the plants, and that nourishment we are getting. So moon is also called as Sarvamaya, because it's pleasing each and every living entity. It is pleasing the demigods. It is pleasing the pitris, the humans, birds, reptiles, trees, plants, grass, everything, herbs. So it is pleasing everything. So moon has been defined in three different ways: Manonmaya, Annamaya, and Sarvamaya. It takes care of everything. So this moon, who's situated beyond the sun, according to these calculations, it is much beyond the sun. It moves faster than the sun. How? Because again, remember, we are talking about Earth-centric model. From our point of view, our point of view, the moon is moving faster from, you know, quickly. So we saw it covers much faster than the sun. Like when the sun covers 1 year, he covers 1 month. Every month, the moon is with one nakshatra, right? So the sun, when the sun covers 1 month, the moon moves in 2.25 days. What is 2.25 days? One rashi, right? So one nakshatra is 1 day, one rashi, the moon covers in 2.25 days. So this is the comparison of the speed from an Earth-centric model. If I see, for me, sun is taking 365 days, right? 1 year to make a complete coverage around me, around the Earth. But whereas at that time, the moon takes only 1 month. So it is faster, correct? Now, if the sun covers 1 month, if the sun is moving from July to August, you know, moving through the month, then the moon covers it in 2.25 days, which is one rashi. One rashi has 2.25 sets of nakshatras, two nakshatras and one pada of a nakshatra, two full nakshatras and one pada. We'll talk about nakshatra when we go to the nakshatra slide. Okay. Not only is the moon described as manonmaya, annamaya and amritamaya, it is also in this verse described as shodasha kala purusho bhagavan. Shodasha, shodasha means 16. Shodasha kalaha, meaning faculties. It has 16 faculties. What is that? It rules over 5 sensory organs, 5 motor organs, 5 great elements and the mind. So the panchabhutas, jnanendriyas, karmendriyas and the mana. Ultimate control is on the mana, which actually controls the rest of the senses. So therefore, it is called as shodashakala purusho bhagavan. Purushaha, according to the commentaries, means one who moves forward, who moves in the front. So there is a joke in Sanskrit. If the wife always walks in front of the husband, the wife is the purusha. It's only a joke. But purusha means one who moves in the front. Okay, that is also one of the meanings of purusha. So he's called as shodasha kala purusho bhagavan according to the commentaries. This is the meaning. And he rules over 5 sensory organs, 5 motor organs, 5 great elements and the mind. And he is the mind of Narayana Chandramsa Manso Jata. Okay. So, and I also mentioned this, that the different wives of the moon are actually the nakshatras headed by Kritika, which is the first wife. And this description of the moon's being married to, the moon being married to all the nakshatras is actually in the 6th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where we see the progeny of Daksha. And this is an interesting verse that says, O Maharaj Parikshit, best of the Bharatas, the constellations named Kritika were the wives of the moon god. However, because Prajapati Daksha had cursed him to suffer from a disease causing gradual destruction, the moon god could not beget children in any of his wives. He was very close to Rohini, is his favorite wife. So the moon, when it is in Rohini, it is supposed to be exalted. That Rashi itself is supposed to be exalted with Rohini, Taurus. Rohini nakshatra is also the nakshatra of the birth of Krishna. So his moon is exalted. Krishna's birth chart, his moon is exalted. Yeah, and that's why Krishna is also called Krishna Chandra. There is a lot of connection between Krishna and the moon. And the reason why he was cursed is because he showed favoritism to Rohini. And headed by Kritika, the rest of the nakshatras were feeling bad. And Daksha, who's the father, cursed moon. That's why you see the waxing and the waning of the moon. What was moon cursed to become? Moon was cursed to have a disease of gradual destruction and increase. So every time he decreases and he increases. So this is all Earth point of view. So it's very beautiful, all of these descriptions and how the moon stays with the 28 nakshatras. Why instead of 27, there is 28? All this discussion will come forward. Now, verse number 11 talks about the different stars above the moon. So we are all looking at vertical dimension, and we'll see, in the final slide, we'll see the distances and the vertical geography of this. But after the moon, the discussion about the wives of the moon. So there are 28 constellations above the moon. Now here it says headed by Abhijit. Okay. Sometimes you would say it is headed by Kritika. The set begins with Kritika. Sometimes it is Ashwini, especially in the past few centuries, I would say. It is Ashwini because the moon first goes to Ashwini these years. But traditionally, first the moon would be with Kritika and then it would move. Okay, of course, the cosmology changes with time. People who do astrology, they know that several thousand years ago, the situation was a little different. Now, when they do calculations, they do it a little different. Little corrections they make depending on the movements of the planets. But here in this verse, it says the 28 constellations above the moon are headed by Abhijit, and it gives a number of 28. So if you see the actual nakshatras, they're only 27. Interesting. So you have, I have the table here. It begins with Ashwini, Bharani, Kritika, Rohini, Mrigashira, Adra, Nakshatra, Punar, Vasupushyami, Aslesha, Makha, Purva, Palguni, Uttara, Palguni, Hasta, Chitra, Swati, Vishaka, Anuradha, Jeshta, Mula, Purva, Ashada, Uttara, Ashada, Shravanam, Dhanishta, Shatabhishak, Purva, Badra, Uttara, Badra, Revati. So if you look at this, there's no Abhijit. Okay, only 27. And each of you could have identified your nakshatras by now. At the time of birth. So at the time of birth, in whose house moon was, that is your nakshatra. Okay. So if you are Pushya nakshatra, then moon was with Pushya nakshatra. Moon was with his wife Pushya when you were born at the correct moment. So that's why you're called as Pushya nakshatra. And your mind is decided by your nakshatra, right? So when the moon conjoins the nakshatra, you say, oh, this person's mind, his thinking is defined by Pushya Nakshatra. So Pushya Nakshatra qualities will be that be there in that person. So this is how they make the analysis. Now, if I see here, I don't see Abhijit. So where is Abhijit? Again, the Acharya's comment, and everyone knows that it is between Uttara Ashada and Shravanam. Actually, a portion of Uttara Ashada, that is the final portion of Uttara Ashada, and the beginning portion of Shravanam, that little section is called as Abhijit Nakshatra. Now, Abhijit Nakshatra is actually very, very potent. Okay, if someone is born in Abhijit Nakshatra, it says that one will have great success. Again, the Acharyas write about it. Okay, and also every day there is an Abhijit Muhurta. Abhijit means victory. So, if someone is either born in Abhijit Muhurta or Abhijit Nakshatra, he will have victory. When is Abhijit Muhurta that happens every day? It happens in midday. Okay, like if you see Vamana's incarnation described in the Bhagavatam, clearly it is mentioned Vamana appeared during the Abhijit Muhurta. Ramachandra appeared during Abhijit Muhurta. Krishna Chandra appeared during Abhijit Muhurta. So Muhurta comes every day and it is in the afternoon time when the sun is in the mid. So it is about 48 minutes, 1.5 hours. And it will be around, say, depending on the location. If you're in India, it will be sometime between 11:45 and maybe 1:15. Okay, that is the peak time when the sun is on top. So that is Abhijit Muhurta. If you are in US, maybe it will start only at 1:30 because that is when the sun attains the peak. That too, depending on the season. Okay, so when the sun is in its midday peak, that 48 minutes around that period is called as Abhijit Muhurta. That happens every day. And the same thing applies in the night. That's why I said Krishna was also born in Abhijit Muhurta because he was born when? Midnight, right? So that is also Abhijit Muhurta. Abhijit Muhurta happens twice, midnight, midday, every day. Abhijit Nakshatra happens only between Shravanam and Dhanishta Nakshatras. That portion, though it is not separated out here, though one may say, oh, you're born under Dhanishta Nakshatra. But if you're born during the last section of Dhanishta Nakshatra, you will be in Abhijit. Okay? And if you're born in the first portion of Shatabhishek Nakshatra, you are Abhijit. So that is the description of Abhijit Nakshatra. Because it is so victorious, here in this verse, it is considered as the primary nakshatra, the first, because most victorious, most first class nakshatra. And Krishna himself in Srimad Bhagavatam, he says, Nakshatranam Tatha Abhijit. In Bhagavad Gita, what does he say? Nakshatranam Aham. Anyone wants to take a try?
Nakshatranam Aham Sashi.
Sashi, who's Sashi?
Moon.
Ah, interesting, right? So Moon is also classified as one of the nakshatras. Moon is the husband of the nakshatras. So same jati, okay? So that's how it is. But in Srimad Bhagavatam, when he's talking to Uddhava, he again repeats Bhagavad Gita in another fashion, you know. He tells, Masanam Margashishomi, same thing like in Bhagavad Gita. And then he's in 11:16:27, he says, Nakshatranam Tatha Abhijit. So Abhijit is first class. Okay. Now, this nakshatras, they move only clockwise with the Kala Chakra. So, Kala Chakra is a fixed chakra that is constantly moving in clockwise direction only, no anti-clockwise, because when we get into the Venus, Mercury and all, we are going to see anti-clockwise movement, okay? But however, nakshatras are fixed. They move only clockwise along with the Kala Chakra. They do not race the Kala Chakra or go behind the Kala Chakra. They go along with the Kala Chakra, same time, on the time wheel, and they are fixed. So imagine if there is a wheel and if nakshatras are staggered on it, if they are all fixed, how will it move? It will just move along with the wheel. So like that, these nakshatras are fixed on the time wheel. Again, see from Earth point of view. When you see in the sky, the nakshatras should go along with the Kala Chakra, not raise the Kala Chakra. So it should appear somewhat fixed, okay, along with the Kala Chakra. They move in clockwise directions, and they do not have multiple motions like planets. When I say multiple motion, actually the planet is moving only in one way. But when I am seeing it, I am seeing it going a little backward and a little front. That is called retrograde motion. That is only the Vakri Graha, which we will see again as we proceed. So this is all about nakshatras. Next, verse number 12 spoke about Venus. Okay, so above the nakshatra mandala, what do we have? We have the different planets. Now, what are these planets? Beginning with Venus, Navagrahas. So you must have heard Sun, Moon, and these planets, Venus, Mercury, Jupiter, Saturn, all of this is actually the Navagraha. So the first of the Navagraha, besides the Sun and the Moon, is the Venus. Venus is ruled by Shukracharya. Okay, so Venus is also called as Shukra and also called as Ushana. That is another name for Shukracharya, Ushana and Shukra. Venus always exerts a favorable, thing on all human beings. So if, this again, you'll see a lot of horoscope here because it's all about the planets and the influences of planets. So a planet is called as a graha. Graha means that which exerts influence. So Venus, this particular graha, is described as favorable. Favorable to what? Favorable to all living beings. So whenever you have Shukra Dasha, for example, they say, oh, you will have a lot of comforts. You'll be very successful. Everything will be good. So if your Shukra is well placed, and if you're running the period of Shukra, according to your astrological chart, then it is all favorable. That is the nature of Shukra, to always give in surplus. Okay, so he's a very materialistic person. He likes to give and provide. So when your Shukra is very good, everyone feels very comfortable. They get material benefits. They are very happy. All sorts of happiness, relationships and comforts. Everything is first class. So that is Shukra. And how is the movement of Shukra from Earth point of view? So the Shukra, sometimes it moves in the speed of the sun. Sometimes it moves behind and sometimes it moves front. So it's not that the planet is running, in one speed, it's running along with the sun, then suddenly it's trying to catch up with the sun. It's not like that. So what we have to see again is from Earth point of view. I'll show you retrograde motion a jiffy so that you can understand how this motion is happening when we go to Saturn. But remember, this is the description that the Venus, it can sometimes move at the speed of the sun from Earth point of view. Sometimes it can be slower. Sometimes it can be faster. So as the Venus is moving like this from Earth point of view, what happens? It is responsible for causing rainfall. So when the Venus is moving nicely, there is nice rainfall. It also has the capability of removing the ill effects of planets like Mars, because Mars is responsible for irregular or obstruction of rainfall. Okay, for all the negative causes, Mars is responsible. It exerts an influence on Earth and it disturbs the pattern of rainfall, but that is corrected by the presence of Venus. So you see, each of these planets, just like how the sun and the moon are important for life on Earth, each of these planets are also very important. They are important for the sustenance of all living beings. And what is Venus' job is to set right rainfall nicely and exert very good influence on all the people who are living. Okay, so let's see further. This is Mercury. Now, Venus, we saw Shukracharya and all. So now Mercury, we have to see the story of Mercury. So you all know Shukracharya's story. He's called as the guru of the demons. You know enough about Shukracharya. There are many stories in Srimad Bhagavatam. But the next planet that we are going to discuss is Mercury, who is also called as Buddha. Okay, not Buddha. Buddha is different. This is Buddha. Buddha means intelligence. That is another meaning for Buddha. How was Buddha born? Who is he? It's described in the same verse that Buddha is actually the son of Chandra. The son of Chandra, who's Buddha, that's how this verse goes. So how did he become the son of Chandra? How did he become the son of the moon? There is a story that the Supreme Lord, from his mind, he created the great rishis. One of the great rishis is Atri Maharishi. This is there in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 14. Okay, before the appearance of Lord Krishna, the Chandra Vamsha is described to introduce Krishna to us, because Krishna was born in Chandra Vamsha, in the dynasty of the moon. So before we can introduce Krishna, we should know how moon was born, right? So for that, Bhagavatam describes the birth of moon. So the Supreme Lord, from him came Brahma, from Garbhodakshayi Vishnu came Brahma, and from Brahma came these great rishis, and one of the great rishis was Atri Maharishi. Now, Atri Maharishi, he once had a jubilation. He had great happiness, okay, ecstasy. At that time, there were some tears that came out of his eyes, and from that tears was born the Chandra, moon. Now, we also saw, oh, Chandra, it comes from the mind of Narayana. So is that wrong and this is right? No, both are correct, Bhagavatam says. Srila Prabhupada, in the commentary, he writes, in some kalpas, Chandra is born from the tears of Atri. Sometimes he is directly born from the mind of Narayana. Okay, so both are correct. Having said that, in this particular kalpa, he was born from the tears of Atri Maharishi. And moon also has a predominating deity. Like all of these planets, they have a predominating deity. So like that, moon also has a predominating deity, and he is called as Chandra, the demigod. Now he, with Tara, actually not his wife, it was the wife of Jupiter, Guru, but there is a story of how he kidnaps Tara because he becomes very proud, and he does several yajnas, and he becomes very, very proud and puffed up, and then he forcibly kidnaps Tara from Guru. He's very attracted to Tara, and from Moon and Tara, Buddha is born, the intelligent one. Actually, what happens in that story, which is again described in the 14th chapter of 9th canto, is that Moon, being puffed up, he captures the wife of Guru, and she becomes pregnant. She's also attracted to the moon. So she becomes pregnant and she delivers this child. And when the child is delivered, everyone is confused. They are not sure whose child this is. So Guru, who's the actual husband of Tara, comes and asks, whose child is this? He's my child because I'm your rightful husband. And at the same time, Chandra comes to claim the child, saying that, oh, this boy is my child because I gave birth to him. And now Tara is in a fix because everyone questions Tara, asking, whose child did you deliver? And Brahma actually takes Tara separately because she's very embarrassed. He takes her separately and inquires, and he finds out it was Moon who actually kidnapped her, and this child is actually Moon's child. So Moon becomes the seminal father of Mercury, Buddha. So that's why Buddha or Mercury is called as the son of Chandra. Actual father is Chandra, but Jupiter very gracefully accepts Tara and Moon as his wife and his son. Okay, that's how this chapter is. He was very grateful, graceful, and he said it's okay, and he accepts her. So sometimes Chandra is seen as the son of Guru, sometimes seen as the son of Moon, but technically he's the son of Moon, not Chandra, Mercury, Buddha. Okay, so this Buddha was born, or Mercury was generated or born, and this Mercury, in the 9th canto, first chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you would read the story of Sudyumna. Sudyumna became a woman. That is the title of that story. So there was a prince by the name Sudyumna, and he went into the forest, and suddenly he went into the groves of Lord Shiva, and he became transformed into a woman, right? Along with his horses, all the horses were transformed into mare, and everyone became woman there. And then again, they pray to the Supreme Lord, and he gets this boon that he can change his sex every month. So 1 month he's a male, 1 month he's a female. Interesting story. You can read this in the 9th canto. So when he's a male, He's called as Sudyumna. Then as a female, he's called as Ila. Very beautiful woman as a female. When Buddha, Mercury god, saw Ila, he was very captivated by Ila in her female form. And Ila in her female form, or Sudyumna in his female form, and Buddha, they get married and they have this child called as Pururava, who's the first king of the Chandravamsha. Then from Pururavas and Urvashi, their story is very greatly described in Bhagavatam. Then the rest of the Chandravamsha kings come, and finally we have Lord Sri Krishna taking birth in Chandravamsha. So that's how the description of the birth of moon is given, and the birth of Buddha, who is Mercury, who is our subject matter for verse 13, is given. So here is a verse directly from the chapter. O Maharaj Parikshit, when Lord Brahma saw that the child was deeply intelligent, okay, why was he deeply intelligent? Because as soon as he is born, he challenges his mother Tara, telling her to reveal his identity. Who is my father? Tell me. So that's why he's considered very intelligent as soon as he was born. When Lord Brahma saw that the child was deeply intelligent, he gave the child the name Buddha. Moon god is the ruler of the stars, enjoyed great jubilation because of his son. Okay, this is verse 14 of that chapter. Now, Mercury is generally auspicious to all living entities. If someone has a strong Mercury, they have strong intellect. Everything is good. They are intelligent and they are very, they are good at analytical skills and all that. So it is very favorable to all living beings. And it is also favorable to all living beings. But however, when it goes retrograde, okay, we are going to see retrograde motion, I promised. But when it goes retrograde, or it starts moving backwards, or it moves in a curve away, then it causes fearful situations like drought, cyclones, and continual clouds. So to all living beings and seasons, it is good. It doesn't cause any catastrophes. But if Mercury goes retrograde, then there is problem with communication. People are not communicating properly. There is problem with sudden droughts and cyclones unexpectedly. So all this happens when Mercury goes retrograde. Next is Mars. Here is the Jiffy for retrograde motion. So before we go ahead with Mars, I will explain this movement to you. Here you have Earth-centric model. And here you have the Sun. So when you're watching from Earth, it appears that the Sun is going like this in one samvatsara, or 1 year. Now, Mars movement is somewhat like this. You know, there's a little curl, if you see, from Earth point of view, like this. See, so nice this GIF is. And then it starts moving again. So now you compare the speed of the Sun and Mars. Sometimes it appears that now Mars is going reverse, right? From the Earth point of view, it suddenly appears going reverse. Suddenly it looks like it's speeding. It's going faster than the Sun. At one point, not shown in this Jiffy, but at one point it will catch up with the Sun. It will go at the same speed of the Sun. Again, it will become retrograde. Okay, again, it will become slow, and it will appear from Earth's point of view that Mars is actually going in reverse direction, like in this picture. Now it's going reverse like that. So that is called as retrograde motion. From Earth's point of view, if any of these planets like Mercury and Mars go retrograde, then there are cyclones, droughts, and all of this on Earth. That is what these verses are telling. Okay, so this is a good picture. You can focus and see. This is the Earth. This is the Sun. And the red one is Mars. Mars is always red. Okay, even Shastra describes him having some red color horses and chariots and all that. So he's always colored red. He's also the red planet. If you look up at the sky, Mars will look very red. Venus will look bright and white, silver white, like the moon, shining like the moon. Venus is also a little bigger and shines like the moon, very, very white. Mercury is always denoted as green. Again, these are all from commentaries. Mercury is denoted as green. So if you see the picture of Mercury, you would see that this is the Mercury god. He's a demigod. He's greenish in color. Mars is always reddish in color. He's also called as Lohita. Lohita means one who's red. He's called Mangala. Though we call him so inauspicious, he has at least the name Mangala. Okay. What are the qualities of Mars? Mars is generally inauspicious, and it indicates grief. Especially if the Mars is not well placed in a person's chart, it indicates a lot of struggle and grief. It is benefic if it's direct and inimical when retrograde. This is the retrograde motion. When it goes like that, it is inimical. Mars generally takes on a little characteristic of the planet it is with. Okay, Again, this comes to astrology. I'm sorry, that's how the commentaries are. So I'm just repeating the commentaries. If you're not comfortable with astrology, this is what it is. Mars sometimes, shares the same house of another planet in someone's chart. For example, if Mars and Saturn is in the same house, then that Mars is considered unfavorable because the planet it's conjoining with is unfavorable. Saturn is an unfavorable planet. So Mars takes on the qualities and it also feels unfavorable towards that person. But if Mars is with a good planet, like for example, it is with Jupiter, then it's a fantastic placement. Then Mars does good for that person. Why? Because the planet it is conjoining with, Jupiter is a good planet. So Mars also takes on those qualities. And also they point out that if you have Mars in the 10th house, it's considered beneficial irrespective of the situation. And he takes, okay, the speed of Mars. Mars is a very quick planet, very, very fast moving. There are two slow planets. One is Jupiter, the other is Saturn, which we're going to cover. But Mars in general, he's very fast, okay, red, very fast, young man. So he does, in 1.5 months, he covers one Rashi if he's not retrograde. If he's retrograde, he takes a little more time because he's going curved, right? He's taking a reverse path. So he takes a little more time to catch up. But you see, he's really, really quick. He's also called as Kuja Mangala. He's also considered as the child of Earth. So Earth has one more kid who's Mars. Moon has a kid who's Buddha. Earth has a kid who's Mars. Next, Jupiter. Jupiter is Guru. Who's Jupiter? Oh, another name for Jupiter, anyone knows? Guru only, but who is he? Sorry.
Brihaspati.
Brihaspati, yeah, Brihaspati, exactly. And he's the demigod of, he's the demigod or the guru of the demigods, sorry. He's the guru of the demigods. So you see stories of Indra and Brihaspati. Indra offended Brihaspati. He's the personality. And he rules over the planet of Jupiter. Jupiter is a big, bulky planet. So obviously, if the planet is so bulky, it's going to move slow, right? It's not going to move fast like Mars. It's going to be really, really slow. So it moves through each sign in one Parivatsara, if not retrograde. Parivatsara means 1 year. So it goes like really, really slow. That's why if you have a Guru Dasha in your chart, it'll be long period. Several years will be a Guru Dasha because Jupiter or Guru moves through each sign in one Parivatsara if it's not retrograde and stays in each Rashi for 1 year. And it is very favorable to the Brahmanas if it is not retrograde. So Moon is obviously the demigod and the guru of the demigods. And when Guru is good, they say everything is good. It has very good influence on the Brahmanas, the work of the Brahmanas. So if Guru is strong, you can preach and all that. Whatever is there in Shastra and Guru, they go well together. Obviously, you need Guru, right, for your spiritual practice. So like that. You can see a lot of connections. This Jupiter is very favorable for Brahmanas if it is not retrograde. If it is retrograde, not very favorable. Why? Because it's a very slow moving and a bulky planet. So when it goes retrograde, that retrograde motion is also very slow. So it's very difficult. It takes time to catch up. You know, it's really, really slow. And it may not be very favorable individually to people, but still, generally, guru means auspiciousness. Always, your guru will always mean good to you, right? Like that. So guru means always auspicious. Saturn, the most troublesome, feared guy. Everyone is afraid of Saturn. 7.5 Saturn, all that, right? Everybody is afraid. He travels through the zodiac in 30 months. He takes so long. He's slower than Jupiter, actually. He's a much slower planet than Jupiter. He's a dark planet. Dark means not like Rahu Ketu. He is dark in color, Shani. And he's very, very slow. He's very troublesome to all people. And actually, the name Shani comes from the original. His original name is Shanaishchara. Shanaishchara means one who walks very slowly. That such a person is called as Shanaishchara. He's extremely slow. And so Vakri Shani or a retrograde Shani is even more slow. That's why when Shani becomes Vakra in your chart or in the transit up in the sky, whenever Shani goes retrograde, people are put into great distress. Everybody has one difficulty after the other because Shani goes retrograde in the sky. Shani generally gives bad results, okay, in most places. But however, Shani can give good results if it is in the 11th house of gains, because one will have steady gains. Okay, so it is supposed to be favorable. Same thing applies to Mars. So the last one for today is the Saptarishi Mandal. So above Saturn is the Saptarishi Mandala. So who are the Saptarishis? Every Manvantara, there is one set of Saptarishis. So for the seventh month, Manvantara, who are the Saptarishis according to Srimad Bhagavatam? That is there in Canto 8, Chapter 13. The seventh Manu, who is the son of Vivaswan, is known as Shraddhadeva. You all know our Manu's name is Vivaswan. Vivaswan, how many sons does he have? He has 10 sons headed by Ikshvaku. Who came in Ikshvaku dynasty? Lord Ramachandra appeared in the Ikshvaku dynasty. That's why Ikshvaku dynasty is called as the sun dynasty, because Vaivasvata Manu is the son of Vivaswan, right? So Vivaswan had 10 sons. In this Manvantara or the reign of Manu, among the demigods are Adityas, Vasus, Rudras, Vishwadevas, Maruts, Ashwini Kumaras, and the Ribhus. The king of heaven, Indra, is known as Purandara. That is our Indra's name. Indra is a post, okay? But he has a name. The person who is holding the post in our current Indra is Purandara. And the seven sages of our time of this Manvantara are Kashyapa, Atri, Vasishta, Vishwamitra, Gautama, Jamadagni, and Bharatvaja. These are our Saptarishis. So where are the Saptarishi Mandala located? Where are their houses or their planets located? That is today called as the Big Dipper. If you look up at the sky, you would see this pattern, okay, on the sky. Thus, even in America, you can see this. Why I say America is not that, you know, America has a different sky. I say that because there are so much light in cities, right? So sometimes you cannot see the stars. But even then, you can see the Saptarishi Mandala even from your house. Today night, you can try to watch this pattern. This is the Saptarishi. And this, the picture here, mainly the picture was for your reference, but the name of the rishis could be a little different because some Shastra, some Puranas give a different set. So we have a different set that is mentioned here. It could also be from a different Manvantara. Generally we understand that for this particular Manvantara, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, these are the seven, but a little changes could be there in the names. Okay, so don't worry about that. But you try to watch the Saptarishi Mandala today night if you can. Or even for me, it is still not sunrise. I can see, but maybe people in East Coast and other places cannot. Okay. So during this period of Manu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, appears in the womb of Aditi and his incarnation and as the son of Kashyapa, who's Vamanadeva. So this is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 13th chapter. And above the Saptarishi Mandala is Dhruva Loka or Vishnu Loka or Paramapadam. The seven sages who are here, see Atri and Anasuya will always be together like that. So there's another tiny little star here close to Atri. So they are always joined together like that. So these seven sages, they are always concerned about what? Well-being of all living entities. They're always praying that everyone should be good. They are blessing everybody and they're taking care of everybody. So beyond the Saptarishi Mandala, on top is the Dhruva Loka. You've all seen the animations of the chandelier, how the Dhruva Loka holds. It's the pole star and all these planets are rotating. Srila Prabhupada's video and his description of that is very famous. And based on that, this cosmology has come up, this great study of the cosmology. Even this cover page, I don't know if you can see my video nicely. Okay, here you go. So this is the pole star on top, and just beneath that, just below the pole star is the Saptarishi Mandala, and then you have all these different stars and planets hanging around. So today the Saptarishi Mandala is called as the Big Dipper, Ursa Major, or the Big Bear. Okay, so here is our vertical chart. So you have the sun from Earth point of view, again, the sun, the moon, then you have on top the constellations, the Nakshatra Mandala. Then you have Shukra, who's Venus. Then Buddha, Mercury, Angaraka, who's Mars, Brihaspati, who's Jupiter, Shanaishchara, who's Saturn, the Saptarishi Mandala, the seven sages. And finally, in a height of 1.3 million yojanas, you have Dhruva Loka. So this is also with the height dimensions, because each of these verses we saw had different yojanas and height dimensions. So that's all. These verses are about 1 hour. Fantastic. Okay. So any questions? I'll try. If I know, I'll answer. But if you have any questions, you can go. Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you so much for such a very detailed class about the portion of the planets. You very well explained. And lastly, the summary of everything was very good, like how the sun and after that the moon, the earth, everything. It was very nice, Mataji. So, and in between you were saying about the pastimes, like how the moon has been created and the Annamaya, the Amritamaya and Sarvamaya. So that was very nice. And about the Abhijit Nakshatra, how it is auspicious. Now I have a little understanding. Because I don't go very much into astrology, but now I'm getting a little understanding after having your class. Okay, all these means something is there. So that's why we are having all these astrologies. So very nice, Mataji. And about the Mercury, like how it is auspicious, and about the Jupiter, and how each nakshatra, when it goes retrograde position, then whether it is favorable or unfavorable. So very nice, Mataji. Such a detailed class. Thank you so much, Mataji, for coming on the call and glorifying the Srimad Bhagavatam and giving us the knowledge of the stars. And lastly, we're saying about the nakshatra, which we can see in the night. I will try to see today because I don't find much here in UAE. So let me try also, but... Thank you so much, Mataji. And devotees, the
Thank
forum
you,
is open
Anika,
for questions.
Thank you, Anika. You're so sincere in taking down notes in every class. So we're very inspired by you. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. All the best to Srilapadi. You're the inspiration for all, Mataji. Dandavat pranams, Mataji. Please come every time and glorify, means like give and such an enlightening Nectarian classes. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you, Anika, Mataji.
Devotees, if any questions, please go ahead. Any questions or commentaries or any realizations?
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. What a beautiful class, Mataji. Thank you so much. In the last minute, you could do this much. I don't know if I would have given you time, what would come out. So beautiful, Mataji. So beautiful class. Thank you so much for waking up so early in the morning and giving us this class. Thank you. We are very grateful to you. And as Anita Mataji said, you know, little more interesting things that we came to know about astrology. You know, even when Bhavaneshwar Prabhu was speaking also, it was there. But still, by hearing again and again, we are also getting a little bit of knowledge of astrology. Thank you, Mataji. Haribo.
Thank you, Anita Mataji, for the wonderful opportunity that you provide everybody and for your constant dedication and services. Very grateful to you, Mataji.
Yes, Valli Mataji, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam. Very wonderful explanation and in detail and clarity. With what clarity you said everything. It is very, very nice, Mataji. Regarding the Chandra, right? You said he is born from the tears of
Atri.
Yeah. Maharshi. Atri Maharshi, right? Mm. And Manasaputra of Narayana also. And there is another story how he came from Kshirasagar Madana.
Yes.
He is also called
brother of Mahalakshmi.
Brother of Mahalakshmi, right? Yeah.
Wonderful. So nice. Thank you for connecting that. In another Manvantara, he appears from Kshirasagar. Very nice.
Yeah, because Chandra Sahodari, she is very famous. Yeah. And Mataji, what are the two stars between Abhijit is there, Sravana and?
Uttarashada.
Uttarashada and?
Shravanam. Shravana Nakshatra.
Oh, okay. So, it is after Shravanam. Last Padam of Shravanam.
Let's see. I think it's first, the last part of Uttarashada and then Shravanam, right? Shravana comes after that.
Yeah, that only
is Dhanishta and Satavisak.
After Sravanam is Dhanishta and then Satabhishana.
Fourth quarter of Uttarashada and the first four Ghatikas of Shravana.
Okay. Yeah. Uttarashada and Sravanam. Yeah. That is Makara Rasi, I think.
Here we go.
Hare Krishna Mataji, very wonderful. Thank you. And that story is also very, like how the Chandra dynasty came, you gave a detailed description how moon was there and all this Pururavas and all the stories connecting to each other. And two times it will come, right, Mataji? Abhijit Muhurt, daytime and also the night time.
Yeah. Usually so, the daytime is more popular. Nighttime, many people don't know, they don't talk about it. But actually, midnight also, Abhijit is there. That's why Krishna was born.
Krishna was born in the nighttime and Rama was born in the daytime.
Midday, correct. Even our Vamana. It is clearly mentioned. No, even when Varaha conquered Hiranyaksha, even at that time Abhijit Muhurta comes. So it's very famous. It's there all over the Bhagavad and even all over the Ramayana also, Abhijit Muhurta.
Yeah. Hare Krishna Mataji, so nice. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Indulekka.
Glories to Srila Prabhupada. What a wonderful class, Mataji. And you covered so many verses in such a short span of time. And you explained it in such great detail. I have a question on the moon. So you were talking about the waxing and waning of the moon. And you said that that means that the moon is it decreases and increases in size. Yes. So the moon continues to remain, the same, right? It's just that we cannot see.
The moon is the same, but it is cursed that the viewers who are seeing will see it like that.
We'll see only a portion. Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah. These stories are there in other Puranas also, how the moon contacts leprosy, disease, and he starts diminishing, and then apologizes to Daksha that he showed favoritism towards Rohini and like that. So Rohini is the favorite wife. That's why Krishna Rohini Nakshatra. He's very lord of the mind, Lord Krishna is.
Right.
Okay. And Rohini is supposed to be very beautiful, very beautiful.
Hey, very nice.
Thank you so much, Mantanji. Yeah, so there is one question in the chat, Mataji. So, yeah. Moon had a son from Guru Patni. Did I get that right? Raj Prabhuji is asking.
Tara is Guru Patni and she was taken by the moon. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's an offense, right?
Yeah. All are glorifying the class, Mataji. Oh. Amazing session, wonderful presentation. And thank you so much for your wonderful class. Everyone is praising you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Yes, Mataji, sorry, I think I interrupted you. Yeah.
No. I was just explaining further that when this happened, there was a big fight between the Devas and Moon. Shukracharya took the side of Moon. Again, Bhagavatam describes all this, that Shukracharya, because he's always in opposition with the Guru, right, with Brihaspati. So he's on the other side. So he takes the side of the Moon and they fight. And then Lord Shiva and others, they take the side of, and the demigods like Indra, they all take the side of the spiritual master and they all fight. And there is a big war ensued because of Tara. And then finally Brahma comes and he takes Tara aside and he asks Tara, okay, tell me what happened. And then she tells, okay, it was Moon. Like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was also a war.
There are so many stories here. Why is Moola Nakshatra called inauspicious star, Mataji? That is a question.
Moola Nakshatra should not be called inauspicious. Moola means the roots, right? So it's supposed to, these people are supposed to be very strongly connected to the roots. And
that is the star of Saraswati Devi, actually. Saraswati, it is very, very powerful.
It's very powerful, very knowledge, very high knowledge. Sometimes even Hanuman is related to Moola Nakshatra. So it's a very good star, actually. But again, there are so many misunderstandings. It has nothing.
We have so many pastimes. Yeah, in Bhagavatam, it's full of pastimes.
Yes.
Yeah. In Mataji, so, there is a book called Tara Shashanka, right? Mataji, it is a complete story of what happened between Tara and Moon. Tara Shashanka, they call the book.
I don't know.
Maybe that's okay. Because we studied in our
Sanskrit.
Like high school days, Tara Shashank.
Shashank is Moon. Uh-huh. Yeah.
That is called Tara Shashank Moon, that book itself.
Interesting.
Yeah, in our studies, in scale language studies.
Raj Prabhu was also telling it's a big offense as one of the seven mothers is the Guru's wife. So it's a great offense, yes. He makes the biggest offense.
Gail Mataji, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Mataji. when you were discussing the seven rishis, mm-hmm, and the planets connected with them, mm-hmm, I'm trying to understand what is actually the role of the rishis in connection with those planets. I came late, so
much. It's just mentioned that they are always, we are seeing what effects these planets exert on Earth and the people on Earth. So that is the focus of the explanation. So everything is Earth-centric. And when we talk about grahas, especially these Navagrahas and the Saptarishi Mandal, we're just seeing what are the influences. These set of verses are talking about the influences of these grahas and these different celestial bodies on the people who are living on Earth. So it is described that the Saptarishis, they are always seeking welfare. They are always blessing us. So that is what they are doing, because they definitely, the Saptarishis are always engaged in a meditation on the Lord, and they are doing good for us. Just like sometimes Shanaishara may not be good for us, Mars may not be good for us. So that's what the mood of the discussion is that.
What I'm trying to understand is, when we say that a particular rishi, right, mm-hmm, is associated with a particular planet,
mm-hmm,
I mean, what does that mean? That he simply lives on that planet, or that's it?
Yeah, he's the prominent personality there. Yeah.
Is that the same as saying that he is the, I don't think this is true, that he would be the presiding deity of that planet? No.
Not necessary. He's just a prominent personality. That's all. And not necessary that he's a predominant deity. Like, for example, Venus, Mercury and all, we say he's presiding deity. But for Saptarishi, I think they are just the personality there. Yeah, in charge.
Yeah, so therefore, the connection is simply that that's their abode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's their abode. That's right.
Yeah. And you know, when you had the Big Dipper, that slide, mm-hmm, and you said that there was a small planet that's always associated,
that's the wife, so Atriyanasuya. Arun, Vasishta Arundhati, they are also together. So Vasishta, right? Arundhati, I'm not sure. Because people are supposed to go and see Arundhati Nakshatra. We have two nakshatras close by. So auspicious effects to watch them like that.
To see them together.
Especially during marriage, that's a tradition. They go and see Arundhati Nakshatra, right? Along with the one of the rishis like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Looking forward to catching up.
Thank you so much, Mataji.
Yeah. Always so wonderful how you explain things. Thank you.
Thank you for your association.
Thank you, Mataji. Mataji, Lalita Mataji is saying that she was expecting you to give class last week. And then she thought that it is, you are fully engaged in Chicago, but Krishna has fulfilled her desire. So she is saying, thank you so much, your servant, Lalita Devi Dasi. And then Raj Prabhuji is having some question. Many times few speakers quote Quran that it says one should not have sex with sister or mother and say to which kind of people it was spoken they were degraded. So how we understand this moon, such an important personality, has done this great offense by having child with mother. It's mind bewildering. Saying like that.
That's and then, many of these great personalities, they have, for example, even Indra, he makes very great grave offenses, like with Ahalya, you must have heard. These are all grave offenses. And sometimes, you know, it's very difficult for us to digest. But we should, two things. These are answered in different ways by Acharyas. Some Acharyas tell us, look, even Bhagavatam, even
Bhagavatam or one of the scriptures specifically gives says that, that they have the tapas, okay? They have the austerity to, even if they make a mistake, they have the austerity and the means to repent for it and get over an issue. But we do not have that strength. That is one thing. So when these examples are given, these examples are given to us so that we can learn from them and not do what they did. And then the other explanation that is given by Acharyas is that sometimes great personalities are made to do certain things to show the world that this can happen to anybody. So especially in the case of Indra, the commentaries tell us that, you know, we should not portray Indra and think in our mind that Indra is a very, you know, low-class person or something like that, because always we see he's making offenses. Throughout Bhagavatam, offense is equal to Indra. So then what do? We get an impression that Indra means he's not even that, he's useless. I'm so much better than him, right? But the point that Bhagavatam is trying to drive to us is that even great demigods can make mistakes. So who are you? So learn from that. And demigods are not they are not Shuddha Sattva. That is another point that is being made, that the Supreme Lord is... you know, it's also to show how the Supreme Lord is Shuddha Sattva, and the demigods always have a mix of, though we classify them as people in the Sattva Guna, they have a mix of Rajaguna and Tamaguna, right? And these gunas can drive people to any extent. Then if such great people who are a million times better than us can do all of, imagine our condition. So it's like that.
Yes, Mataji. It's you were saying like demigods, they are not in Shuddha Sattva. Then how come they are becoming demigods, Mataji?
They are in Sattva Guna, not Shuddha. Predominantly Sattva Guna. Shuddha Sattva, pure goodness, they are not. Only the Supreme Lord is in pure goodness. It's also a comparison between demigods and the Supreme Lord. You know, from time to time, they make that comparison. And the Supreme Lord is beyond the gunas like that. Another thing is sometimes the Lord chooses his own devotees to play certain roles. Like this is another explanation offered by scripture, that Krishna, he chooses his dear devotees, because if you read in some places, Krishna or Narayana, he goes to any extent to please Indra, to save Indra, to do things for Indra. Why? Because Indra is a devotee. And then you would see a comparative verses saying the devas are always devotees of the Lord, whereas the asuras may not necessarily be devotees. I mean, of course, there are some greater asuras, but still. So why do we say that? They are devotees. Sometimes the Lord uses his devotees to, you know, put them into a situation purposely to show the world an example. So he chooses some of his devotees to do, play certain roles. So like that, there are many explanations. Yeah. But as he said, it is very true. You know, in the other religions, we do have these as a direct instruction. Like, you should be like this, you should not do this. These are direct instructions. But for people who are more civil, I won't say civilized, but probably more into the Vedic culture, such direct instructions may not necessarily be given. It should be understood, right? Like he has quoted, Raj Prabhu has quoted a scripture, and he's saying it's bewildering. That is true, it is bewildering. But such things can happen, so we should put it in our mind.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Mataji, for that explanation. And one more question is there. Mataji, these Saptarishis are also the gotras of human beings?
They can be the gotras. Right. Great Rishis, their descendants, they take on these gotras. Yeah.
And Indilaka Mataji is asking, are both Venus and Jupiter favorable for spiritual growth, or Venus is for material success?
Venus is for material success, Jupiter is for spiritual growth. But these are generic. Every planet, depending on its placement and so many other things, its conjunctions and its drishti and a million other things, can even be favorable for anything. So, but this is a general understanding. Venus means material success. Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mataji. Such a wonderful class. Very nicely explained everything, each and everything. I think for my understanding, I have to go again and see, review the class again to get a more deeper understanding. Devotees, Yeah. Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you for the wonderful class. I just wanted to mention that Arundhati is the wife of the sage Vasishta.
Vasishta.
Yeah, one of the seven sages, Saptarushi. Yeah. Just wanted to mention that.
Thank you, Mataji. Vasishta Arundhati. Yeah, that's what they see during a marriage, right?
Right, Mataji. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the wonderful class. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji.
Mataji, why do they see like that? Why we are asked to see that?
Because Arundhati is a chaste wife, right? So everyone should aspire. She's one of the great Patanis, so everyone should aspire to be like her.
Okay. Yeah, just for an example, okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mataji. So devotees, any more questions? Mataji,
yeah, so time? Just on this yes. point, during marriage ceremonies, what the couple is goes outdoors to look up into the sky, literally.
Yeah. That too in broad daylight.
In broad daylight.
It depends on when the marriage is happening. It depends. Every culture has it. Even in India itself, every culture has a different timing for marriage. So it depends.
Well, I hope they're looking in the right place.
No, we end up looking at the sky, blank sky.
Yeah, just wondering. You end up looking at the wrong stars. Oh my God.
That's why so many problems.
You would see at night the moon, you know. So.
And he's saying these days they just go out for photo shoot. Yeah, that is awesome. Yeah.
We don't know where it is placed, only just the what the place is saying. Yeah, just like the call. Done. Mataji, one more question is there. What is the importance of astrology in devotee's life?
Every person has an opinion about it. So everything is right. Some people say astrology has no effect on devotees. Correct, I agree, because Krishna has control of devotees. Some people say, till you become a pure devotee, you have to, you know, go by the rules of karma. So astrology will play a role. That is also correct. So it's a mix of everything. So I don't have a specific answer because I've seen everything in everyone's life. So.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Mataji, for your time and association. So devotees, any more questions or comments or realizations?
Well, actually, you know, I was thinking that those two points that you just made, Mataji, you can kind of combine them, you know?
Yeah.
Because, yes, it is Krishna who controls everybody's life, but he may, you know, allow the astrology
to play a role. Yeah.
Yes. So it's still Krishna in control,
yes.
But it's also astrology in control. So they don't have to be in competition with each other, actually.
Exactly. Very nicely put together, Mataji. That's my opinion too.
Mataji, can you share the presentation slides that will be?
Oh yeah, in the group, of course. Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Mataji.
For the group, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So thank you so much, Mataji, for coming on the call in such a short notice and giving such a nectarian class. It's so wonderful to hear from you. And I again repeat, please come again every now and then to give us such a nectarian class. We are eagerly waiting to hear from you more and more Bhagavaram classes apart from Chaitanya Bhagavad class. Thank you so much, Mataji. So for devotees who are new here, Mataji is taking even Chaitanya Bhagavad every day evening. I know only UAE time, it's 7 p.m. So please attend the class. So the updates will be there in the group also. So devotees, let's pay our obeisances to Mataji. Vancha Kalpa Tripasa. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindiki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Chandra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Her Grace Preeti Vilasini Mataji Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much.